I'm Sarah Cahill with you every Sunday here at KALW. And with me on the phone now is pianist Audrey Vardanega. Hi, Audrey, are you there?
Hi, Sarah. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight. You're in New York City, so it's 3 hours later, of course, and you grew up in the Bay Area. It's been a busy day for you. You had a wonderful concert just a few hours ago, or at least a post-concert conversation after a wonderful cello and piano concert. So,
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was so great. We've talked before a few times over the years about your remarkable Mosaics of the Bay concert series, presenting concerts here in the Bay Area. And as part of Mosaics, when it became impossible for all of us to perform concerts, you created a stay-at-home symposium which brings together musicians and composers and visual artists. So you've been commissioning new works every week for many months now, and you're continuing to do so. When did you start this?
So this was started last June 2020, right after the pandemic hit, and there was kind of like a month or so long period where I just kind of sat in Berkeley, where I'm originally from, and was just like, okay, what do we do? As were many people, many artists especially, were feeling at that time. And one of my sort of visions at that time was that I really wanted to find a way to bring the audience into the creative process, because we were all separated physically. And so commissioning was kind of my idea for that, specifically by inviting the community and our audience members to submit pieces of visual art, pieces of sculpture, architecture, film, poetry, etc., that they either created themselves or deeply resonated with. So I gathered all of these community submissions and matched them with composers who were inspired by some of these submissions, who then wrote new works of music based on these submissions. So it's been this sort of three-way process of community members submitting works of art, composers seeing these works of art and feeling inspired by them and creating new pieces of music, and then performers from all over the United States and other countries who virtually premiere these pieces. And so it was organized in a way where I set up new premieres that would come out every week, and that's been going on since last June 2020, and we have premieres all set to go until May 31st. And so it's a very large project, and I've just been really, really grateful and honored to see all the amazing performers, composers, visual artists, et cetera, who have come on and given their artistic craft to this collaborative effort.
It's really an incredible thing, and especially when it's just, this has been such a hard time for everyone, and for musicians who can't perform and composers who can't hear their work performed. And we should direct people to the website, because these are all videos, and it's really kind of incredible, because there are conversations with you, and you talk with the visual artists, and you talk with the composer about the inspiration for the work, inspired by the visual piece, and you talk to the musician about the whole process of learning the work, and then it's premiered, and it's just really, really wonderful. So tell us the website where people can go to see them.
So the website is mosaics.org. That's MUSAICS.org. Like mosaics, except mosaics. Thank you so much, Sarah, for mentioning that. And if you're curious, we have all of our symposium premieres, which have been, we're reaching 31 tomorrow. So 31 new commissions.
That's really incredible. And you're in your mid-20s, are you? You're 25?
Yeah, and I'm 25.
Yeah, and a lot of these composers and musicians are your age or younger, and it's incredible to hear so many new works by young composers, performed by young musicians, but it's also a really diverse group, and diverse in in many ways, but also age, because some of the some people, like some of the visual artists, are older. You know, it's in terms of generation and ethnicity, and it's just a really, you know, and also geographically, people spread out around the country, which wouldn't be possible otherwise. So it's really great.
Well, thank you so much. And I think that's one of the silver linings of the pandemic, just this opportunity for people, regardless of where you are or who you are, really, to engage with one another. And one of the silver linings for this project is that there are so many incredible artists and performers and composers around the world who now have the time to collaborate and now just are so hungry for that kind of creative collaboration. And so one of the other things that I've been encouraging through the symposium is the mentor partnership, which is where we partner a student composer with a visual artist who is older and established, and they get together on Zoom a few times over the course of, let's say, 4 months, with the goal of creating compelling new work together. And that wouldn't be a possibility in normal times, or something that I would have even considered to be a possibility, because we were also concerned about getting people physically inside the concert hall, or just, you know, keeping the series going and programming traditional chamber music reps. But this is a time for true incubation and generation, and I am just really, really grateful to be at the center of that and just to see all of these incredible people come together, even though we're separated by our screens.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing that wouldn't be possible otherwise is, you know, you never see the inside of people's rooms,
right,
where they do their work. And on these videos, like, for instance, Nick Reeves is performing on the cello in a room where there's a poster of the great Calvin Simmons conducting the Oakland Symphony and Duke Ellington. It's a wonderful combination, and it's just fascinating to see inside the rooms of musicians, which are usually so private.
Yeah, and I think that also just enhances what we're trying to do, which is bring the most honest, true versions of these artists and these human beings together, and with the goal of creating things that are honest and have integrity and aren't just surface level or for show or anything like that, but really what people are truly feeling in this very vulnerable time. So it all kind of enhances this collaborative effort, and yeah, I'm just really, really excited to see how this progresses over the next few months. And thank you for using your platform to provide a way for people to know about this.
Of course. And again, the website is musaics.org, and that's musaics.org. Let's listen to some of the music. What should we play first of this group of pieces?
Well, I think it would be nice to start with something like Arcadia, with Stephen Wartz and Julia Hamos. This was written by composer Jesse Brault, who I believe is currently in Wisconsin, but was based in New York City before the pandemic. And Stephen Wartz and Julia Hamos are both based in Berlin. Mm. And this is based on a painting by June Yokel, who is Bay Area-based, called Paradise Lost.
Mm. And this is unusual because a lot of the pieces, because of the pandemic, the musicians have to perform alone, not with others, because it's unsafe to play chamber music in the same room without masks. But in this case, are they a couple? It's a violinist and pianist together.
I think they're in a chamber music pod together in Berlin.
Good.
So they were able to record this in the same physical space.
Great. Well, let's listen to it, and then we'll come back and talk after that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Very beautiful. Two pieces from the Stay at Home Symposium. And with me is Audrey Vardanica, who was the pianist in that last one. Audrey, tell me about that last piece.
So the last piece that you just played is called Reflection, and it was composed by a very good friend of mine. Her name is Sarah Barone, and she's actually composing film music down in Los Angeles right now. And that was recorded with this fantastic young violinist, Lucy Namath, who's actually from Oakland. And so we were able to record that together in person a few months ago. And it's just, that's such a beautiful miniature based on a photograph by Dale Carter called Orange on Blue, which is this gorgeous, very Rothko-like photograph of a sunset. So it's just this block of deep orange over this layer of dark blue. And I felt that the piece that Sarah wrote was just so, it captured those colors so beautifully. Mm. And Lucy and I had such a wonderful time exploring that.
Yeah, very atmospheric. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by what comes in with these weekly videos and audios?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, really, every week it's like I get a little present in my email, and I get a little attachment from the performer or the composer with this piece that, and I have no idea what to expect every week, and it's like a little world is given to me every week, and I'm so fortunate for that. And I'm continually just blown away by the amount of beauty that people have to offer, especially the composers and performers and artists who have been on the Mosaic series and contributed to the symposium. It's overflowing, and I think that's really, I mean, as the artistic director of Mosaics of the Bay, it's thrilling, but as a performer, it's extremely humbling just to see all the talent that is out there and to appreciate it in that way. So that's been also a really interesting growing experience for me.
And you're finding a lot of emerging composers, teenagers, and then you pair them with musicians. So tell me about that process. How do you decide when you get a piece for someone writes? Well, they're all writing for particular musicians, right? I mean, you pair them up beforehand.
Yeah, it depends. So sometimes composers will come on the series and have a very clear idea of the musician they want to work with, in which case I support that and we make that happen. But other times, especially in the case of younger composers, like we've had a few composers who are 15 or 16 and might not have a wide musician network yet because they're busy being 15 and, you know, just figuring out how to compose and get all their academics done and being in high school or virtual high school. And I will match them with someone who is willing to work with them in not only the capacity of premiering their piece as a musician, but also mentoring them in a way, going through the drafts and scores with them and having Zoom calls, talking about things, getting to know each other. So I encourage that kind of dialogue and continued communication in each collaborative situation. And it's really not a one-size-fits-all situation. Every week we have three different people who come together. And so with every week I moderate and I get a sense of what each person needs and how to make sure that we make everyone feel really fulfilled by the collaboration.
Yeah. Is there any length limit as to length or stylistic requirements or anything like that?
So the only real rule that I put into place was that the composition had to be based on a piece of community submitted art. That's the only rule. As far as length, I've encouraged the composers to keep their compositions under 10 minutes long because, you know, we're dealing with a whole different set of rules nowadays with publishing things on YouTube and people's attention spans when you're watching a YouTube video or just staring at a screen. And so, with all those considerations, that's kind of what's been the case with each commission or with each premiere. It's that composers are more inclined to write things that are shorter but have more harmonic density or have more meaning within a shorter time frame for a virtual release. So it's worked out very well.
Like the Webern Sonata that you played today, which was like a minute long and packs just a lot into it. And it's so great to hear you play new music. You played a piece and you said beforehand that you used two number two pencils. And I thought that was so great, like that you specify that they're number two pencils that you're playing the strings with. That, yeah, like a zither or a, yeah, like a cymbalom or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think it's I think it's maybe an effect of, you know, taking the SATs when, you know, standardized tests, they were like, you need number two pencils.
Exactly.
So there's that, like, that extension in my mind.
Exactly. And you can't get the right sound if it's, like, a different kind of pencil.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Let's listen to a few other pieces from the stay-at-home symposium.
Okay, sounds great.
We have a piece called Dawn, composed by Kristen Kirk. And
yeah.
Then also, how about Piccolo Pezzo, composed
yeah.
by Luke Shu.
Perfect.
With pianist Andre Gologan. Anything you want to say about those two before? Is
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Dawn, is the artist the same as the musician?
Yes, so that's what I was going to mention. This is an interesting case. Tim Petrin, he's a fantastic Greek cellist who I met at a festival a few years ago, and he's also a visual artist, so he has these gorgeous paintings. And I was thinking about him in August, so I reached out to him, and I was like, hey, like, this is what I'm putting together. Would you want to be part of it? And he was really enthusiastic, so he submitted a bunch of his own paintings, and Kristen Kirk, who's a Bay Area-based composer, I believe, was matched with him, and together they created this gorgeous unaccompanied cello piece that Tim premiered, and Tim is actually quarantined in Greece right now, I believe, so it was this really special sort of international collaboration.
Mm.
And then Piccolo Pezzo, which is the second one that you mentioned, is actually written based on the Bay Area based painter Daryl Tye's painting called Homage to Edmundo, which is this sort of very explosive, very colorful painting. And Luke Shu wrote it for my friend who's a Romanian pianist named Andre Gologan, and they're both in Salzburg, Austria right now. And so we did a sort of collaborative New Year celebration with them, and they premiered it in Salzburg, and we did this, like, we premiered it on Group News on January 2nd, and it was really cool because we had, like, our California audience tuned in, we had some New Yorkers, we had a bunch of people from Salzburg, Austria, so it was like this sort of international global audience tuned in to watch Andre play this piece and other pieces. So this was a really special one as well.
That's incredible. So we'll hear first Dawn and then Piccolo Pezzo.
Perfect.
Okay. And then we'll talk again. I should mention you are listening to KALW San Francisco.
Thank you.
That's Piccolo Pezzo, composed by Luc Chou, and the pianist there was Andre Gologan. Audrey, that's amazing, that upper register of the piano, that's so, it's so glassy up there. It's kind of an extraordinary piece. And then before that we heard Dawn by Timotheus Petrin, is that right? Oh, no, Christian Kirk.
John,
Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
Performed by Timotheus Petrin. And, yeah, beautiful. Beautiful performances. There's something so poignant about solo cello these days when you just think, I mean, we pianists can just are fine being soloists, but other instrumentalists, you know, alone in their rooms who are so used to combining forces, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes you grateful that, I mean, in certain ways, to be a lone pianist.
A lone pianist. Yeah, and did you ever think a year ago about how to record yourself at home and how to have a Zoom conversation and what mics to buy and all the audio equipment and gear? Like, it's just kind of a very sharp learning curve.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any inkling about any of those things, and it's really, like, incredible to me how much information we've picked up since last March, just in terms of, you know, navigating a Zoom call and a sort of, you know, new way of socializing on Zoom and ways to be polite on Zoom and whether or not to mute yourself and all of these different codes of conduct. And it's no different in collaborations and just navigating this new virtual world and still making these new possibilities happen through the symposium.
Yeah.
So it's a huge learning process, but I'm just very grateful to all of the people who have been involved and who have been open to taking this adventure with me.
Yeah, and a wonderful network of sort of, you know, just talking to friends around the world, as you say, and your friend Andre Gologan and people literally around the globe who then recommend other people and composers and musicians and friends. We should mention again, musaics.org is the website, musaics.org, with information about all this music that you're hearing tonight. And you have bios of the composers and the musicians and the artists, and you have the visual works that inspired these pieces. So that's really great to see. And in some of the videos, you show them while the performance is going on, just to kind of remind the viewer that this was the impetus for the new work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to hear one more. This is a performance by Nick Reeves. And the composer is Eileen Chow, who is also very young. So tell me about Nick Reeves, Eileen Chow, and the painting that inspired her.
So this piece is called Some Mornings Need Lullabies, and it's for unaccompanied cello. It was premiered by the Oakland-based young cellist, Nick Reeves. And this was composed by Eileen Chow, who I believe is in Southern California at the moment. And the inspiration for this piece is a painting by the Bay Area-based painter Junio Kell, which depicts a single chair sort of looking out, and you can see the sky, and there's sort of a grassy patch. And it's very much a pandemic piece of visual art. It's called Now What? Now mm-hmm. What? Which is what so many of us are still thinking. And so I thought this piece so beautifully captured in its composition and also in its performance by Nick Reeves, that feeling that is very much encapsulated by this painting of just stillness, but also just looking out and just wondering what comes next.
I also want to say, you know, one other thing that's kind of fantastic about this project is that the turnaround is pretty fast. Like, the musicians don't have months and months and months necessarily to learn a new piece of music. But the performances are really masterful. And so it's sort of like, you know, they're treating these new pieces like they would a sonata of Beethoven, that you put the work in and you come up with an interpretation, and it has subtlety and it has nuance, and you know, it, and you show the structure, and it's really, I mean, I'm struck by these performances that we're listening to tonight, that each one is really polished in a kind of amazing way. That isn't it. It's not that sense of like, oh, a new piece, let's just toss this off, because no one will know. And that's the attitude so many people have, like, no one will know if you don't, mm-hmm. you know, and we've all heard those performances of new music where it's just like, you know, let's just kind of basically sight read and no one will be the wiser, except maybe the composer will be pissed or something.
But exactly.
Like, what does it matter? But I mean, these are really deep, deep performances I'm hearing.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for saying that. And I have been really struck by the amount of care that everyone has put in. And I think part of that is that people treat it as a true collaboration. So it's not really this sort of traditional performer-composer dichotomy. It's this sense like, I'm bringing this piece into the world. These are all world premieres. And that's important and that's meaningful. And I think another element is that the composers and performers are so connected through the process. Like every week, the composer and performer featured that week, they are in continued conversation with one another. And those conversations, for the most part, look like, okay, how can I best interpret this to show what you have notated? Mm. Or on the composer's side, how can I rewrite this phrase to best suit what makes you look or what your performance style is like. So those are the kinds of conversations that are going on, and which really speak to the fact that these are tailor-made in each week based on the individual people who are involved. And so I think that's what creates this sort of real sense of care on all sides.
Yeah.
And that is really special to me.
Yeah, and also that we're all starved for meaning and communication and expression during this pandemic, and to really express something profound, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So here is, speaking of which, here's Nick Reeves performing Some Mornings Need Lullabies by Eileen Chow. beautiful. That's Nick Reeves performing Some Mornings Need Lullabies by Eileen Chow. And with me on the phone is Audrey Vardanica. Thank you so much for staying up late. It's 12:21 a.m. there in New York City.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for featuring all of these recordings and giving me the platform to speak about this project.
Of course. I want to ask, how old are Eileen Chow and the composer and Nick Reeves, the cellist, in that last piece?
I know Nick is 19, I believe, but I don't. I think Eileen is in her early 20s, but I'm not entirely sure exactly how old she is. But she's a young composer.
It's just so wonderful. Yeah. I mean, these pieces wouldn't exist if it weren't for the stay-at-home symposium. So it's just, it's very, very, very moving.